sweat right now.
Welcome to Under Her Eye,
the upper podcast about a downer show.
And the podcast where we give you kittens to hold while you watch The Handmaid's Tale.
Incidentally.
This is our finale episode.
Can't believe it.
Today we have Katie Willard and Jess Eason. They are both hilarious and amazing.
We got some heavyweights to wrap it up with us.
It's true. We have some audio issues in this episode, so we made it sound as nice as we could for you. It's not the whole time, but just bear with us. We apologize. It's too distressing to watch the TV show. And then things in your life just start to fall apart. You get it.
But we hold ourselves to a higher standard, and it won't happen again.
Yes.
Lest we pluck our own eyes out.
Yes.
That's what they do in Gilead, right?
If you fuck up your podcast recording.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be tongue, because we talk on the podcast.
That's true.
That's enough of that.
Blessed be the fruit.
May the Lord open. Run again, case you weren't sure. It's my name, it is awesome. Ain't anybody told you? Maybe like she's else fashion. Oh, she's so ambitious.
Should have told you, you can't get it. Cause guess they never told you. Oh my gosh, Jess and Katie. Welcome to Under Her Eye.
Oh, I'm so happy to be. We're starting.
And we're starting. I'm so happy to be here.
I know,
we're
me starting. Too. I'm so happy to have you guys. Listeners, we're missing Alyssa for logistical reasons, but we're going to get her after. So don't worry. You're going to hear her hot takes on the finale, too. I am shook. I'm shook.
Yeah, my eyes are swollen. I cried a couple of times.
Me too. When did you cry?
I cried when Serena Joy, the evil devil, who I still understand why she is that way, but doesn't make her any less evil, when she showed her daughter, showed her Hannah.
Oh my God.
And I was like, you are a terror. Like,
yeah.
It was first tears because I'm like, you get to see your daughter. And then I was like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
You're that locked was in that SUV.
That was torture for me because I've been saying, and listeners of the podcast will know, I'm like, I want to see Hannah. All I wanted all season is to see Hannah.
She's
and then I did
so
it.
So cute.
Torturous.
That pancake scene last episode. Yes,
oh my gosh. Very the cute. Pancakes. Yeah. When else did you cry?
When did I cry? I kind of was like low hum, like wet eye, pretty much from then through the rest of the episode.
low hum, wet eye.
I think when they didn't kill Janine.
Oh.
And they like are united. They shouldn't. Yeah. I wrote it down. They shouldn't have never have given us uniforms if they didn't want us to be an army.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I cried when Moira and Luke saw each other.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Yep. I have chills now just thinking about it.
Me too.
You're my family.
Yeah. I think people reuniting makes me emotional. Like when Moira and June saw each other in Jezebel's, that's like one of my favorite and best parts of the whole season. Guys, are we all going to cry?
Yeah.
I'm also a little, I cried a lot last night. For unrelated reasons.
Hey, me too. I cried a lot yesterday, but for different reasons.
Not totally unrelated. It was because I got in a fight about The Bachelor in Paradise sexual assault.
Who was scandal. Was somebody trying to say?
Someone was like, it's reality TV and blah blah blah.
No,
and I was and it was a man, and I was like, don't get at me about whether or not someone can have a problem with an unconscious woman getting fucked publicly naked
by
in a pool.
DeMario, who's already so problematic.
Are you keeping up with
this? I don't watch that show, but that sounds horrible.
There's a guy named DeMario who I guess pause on Handmaid's Tale. There's a guy named DeMario who came on the show still having a girlfriend. He literally just ghosted his girlfriend of like 7 months to go on The Bachelor and she didn't, or The Bachelorette, and she didn't know about it until she saw the promo and saw DeMario. So she shows up during one of the challenges and is like, hi, this guy's terrible. Here are texts from like recently showing that we were still together. So The Bachelorette, who's great, she obviously kicks him off.
Yeah.
He comes back, tries to forget, like, be like, forgive me. She's like, no. He goes to Bachelor in Paradise, essentially rapes another contestant.
Oh, my God.
But now, like, and it's that the woman, by the way, is not saying she was
raped or assaulted.
She's like, we were both really drunk. But so it was a producer who saw it happening. Who
is
was
the producer
like,
the one bringing up the charges?
The one, who filed
the segment
complaint.
Producer was like, or the field producer was like, this shouldn't have happened. Like, I was trying to tell people, like, stop.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't. Like, I think higher ups were like, no, let it play out.
No. That was such a roller coaster. No. Like, because at first I was, when it was first allegations of misconduct, and I was like, oh God, sexual assault or assault, like something bad. And then the next thing that was leaked was like Corinne and DeMario were drunk, naked, having sex in a pool. And I was like, oh great, that sounds great. And then it was like, no, she was so drunk.
Yeah,
like,
that she had no idea what was happening.
Right. So anyway, now I'm very annoyed. Maybe that's why I'm crying, because I'm like, I got The Handmaid's Tale, and then to take my mind
off of all the horrible shit.
All I want to do is watch Bachelor in Paradise. And now we can't have nice things.
Well, it's all, I mean, it's all the same. It's all that internalized misogyny and all, I mean, it's all relevant. It all is, has to do with
controlling women.
Okay. Yeah. What did we write down? What should we talk about? I have so much. I've never taken this many notes. This was a fucking doozy.
Yeah.
I love Parade of Sluts that
Aunt Lydia
said at the beginning. I'm like, that sounds like a fun parade.
Loves to call people a sluts. Yeah, slut walk.
Slut parade. Why not? Everybody have a good time. I always do love when they, I don't love, I hate it because it's scary, when they flash back to the transition into this, because it's like so gradual. You know, kind of how they started doing things and how they indoctrinated people and like trained people and how they manipulated people.
Yes.
And that's horrifying to me because I think a lot of people watch Handmaid's Tale and are like, oh, this could never happen. But I'm like, do you not understand that it already kind of is?
Jewish people don't think that.
Right. John Mulaney says something about like the Jews wandered through the desert. Like they're always looking at behind their shoulder. Like nobody's, Jews are never surprised when this sort of shit goes down.
Well, also, I don't know anybody Jewish.
No.
Okay. I went to Hebrew school. I think a lot of people's Hebrew school experiences are like this. It's full on, like you learn some Hebrew letters and then it's how to spot a Holocaust
from miles away, from years before.
Yes. So, I'm always on the lookout for a Holocaust. And so this all seems like, this could totally happen.
I think anyone that's a minority would think that. I think people of color, I mean, me being a person, I mean, I think that's just when you're not white.
A white dude.
Or a white woman.
And someone to say this, it reminds me of when people are like, don't worry about this, that could never happen. That's such a privileged thing to say.
Oh, right. Completely entitled.
It could
entitled
never happen to,
to me.
And when it, I love the moment when Fred is first taking June to Jezebel's and he's like, don't worry, you're with me. Yeah. And I'm like, that's so easy for you to say, but something horrible could happen to her even though she is with you.
Yeah. And you'll leave her and you'll be saved.
Yeah.
I just, man, when he brought Moira into the room and was like, I'm trying to do something nice for you. And I'm like, oh my God, fuck you so much. Like that just attitude on a less crazy scale is so prevalent.
He's the worst, stupidest person ever.
Of dudes. Like, I think that a toned down version of that man is everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also
it's also in our government. You just watch the Sessions hearings. Anytime the great Kamala Harris speaks, they all talk over her and they tell her that she's not respecting
someone
that's not respectable. And she's the only one they interrupt. And then when you were listening, if you did listen to any of the commentary, there's one guy that was like, she was hysterical. And this other woman commentator was like, she didn't yell. What are you talking about? She's hysterical.
Yeah.
They're using those, I mean, the code sexist words.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Another reason I cried yesterday was because I have a few projects I'm cooking up. I got a lot of stuff to get done. Got some men working for me.
Nice.
Now, well, you would think so,
okay,
hold on. Alyssa.
Oh, wait, the door.
Alyssa's here.
Yay.
You would think it would be nice, but
you would think it would be nice, but you gotta tell them they're doing a good job so much. You gotta be so nice and so smiley to them. And the minute I just was trying to be
too nice. And then I was like, I've let this go too far.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, like two separate times, it was like something has gotten fucked up because I wasn't like, hey, you are not doing a good job at this and you need to fix it. And then the moment I was like, okay, we have a problem. So freaking out. Well, what am I doing wrong? Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, I've spent so much energy trying to like keep a happy face and make my opinions about their work palatable to them.
Yeah.
That last night I just... the tears came because this takes so much energy to
What's your takeaway from that? You're not gonna do that again, right?
Well
the takeaway is I'm not gonna tone it down for them. Here's the
thing,
adults. Jess,
I don't know what my takeaway is because this was kind of a new thing for me. Okay. Where I'm like, I'm trying to be, anyone who has been in a play that I've directed, not them, like fairly blunt.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of new to be like, let's all collaborate. I was like, okay, trying this out. And guess what? I don't think it works for me.
But that's okay, right? It was worth a try.
Yeah, worth a try.
And now you know.
Yeah, the emotional gymnastics is so exhausting. That thing of just like, oh, not only do I have to try and get what I need to get done, but I also have to be so overly cautious of how I present myself in order to like just get things done.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just get things done. There's also all the other, I don't know. Yeah.
I don't think about it much, I have to say, my entire life. But I think also then I have a great, not that I know, but like when people mirror you back, I get a lot of, from mostly men, not women, like, oh, she's angry a lot, or she's, you know, that classic loud a lot, whatever. And I'm always like, I'm not angry.
Yeah.
And I'm not loud. I'm passionate.
Just not smiling quietly at you.
No, I'm just a passionate person. Yeah. And I'm an outspoken person. But that's the thing. And I think if I had known that, I just didn't know how to, I was never aware of that. And now having an adult, I'm like, oh, but at this point I'm like, well, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Smile a lot? I try to smile at the end now.
Let's hold for
but
one
I don't
second.
Stop what I'm saying.
Okay, everyone, we're back. Great news. We have Alyssa now.
You guys aren't going to believe this.
Alyssa thought we were meeting at 3. We were meeting at 11. It was Julia's fault. And so I sincerely apologize for your 10 minutes without Alyssa that you had to deal with.
I'm so sorry she guys did this to you, most of all. No, there hasn't been a full transparent investigation into whose fault it was. There will be.
Just some wires crossed.
There'll be a hearing. Comey will
speaking
testify.
Of like, speaking of what women are like, we're doing this. I'm like, I'm so sorry. It's my fault. She's like, no. Yeah. We're both just like... Whereas a man would be like, well, I'm sure I told you.
Somewhere
I told you.
Out there, like a guy is taking credit for our podcast while we're.
Yeah, I was at a bar and I like met up with Julia and I was like, you know, I think this would be a really good podcast.
Yeah.
And then, then she did it. And now like, I'm just so
while
happy
we're trying to figure
made.
Out whose fault it is that I wasn't here. But I'm here now and we can talk about the episode.
Oh my gosh. Yay. So also full disclosure, Alyssa hasn't watched the entire thing. But so we're going to get to hear some of her reactions in real time if we're talking about some of the crazier shit that happens.
It's just a crucifixion over here.
End of the episode. It's a crucifixion of Julia. It's my participation. Come on. Come get me.
You guys got the participation joke. That's amazing.
Scratch my eyes out or whatever. Okay. There was a stoning, Alyssa.
Almost.
Did you get
almost
stoning?
Almost.
A near stoning.
Oh, a near stoning event?
Yeah.
Okay, wow. Yeah, I'm not there yet.
Oh. Should we say?
Yeah,
right?
You
go
we
for it.
Talk about it.
I don't care about spoilers.
Okay, so it's a salvage. It's a death knell. Everybody has to go, but we don't know who's going to get stoned.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And then Aunt Lydia's like, the worst sin is endangering a child. So
no.
I know. You know who we're talking about.
So it's Serena Waterford.
No. Do you know who I was hoping it was?
The person I originally thought it was going to be was Putnam. The
Lady Putnam.
Yeah, Lady Putnam.
She has
a
funny name.
Doesn't know how to. She's not good with her baby. She seems mad at her baby all the time.
Why would you think it was those ladies? They're never going to. The handmaids would never get their hands
but
on.
But this is why. So it was like the worst sin is endangering a child. And June had just told Fred that she was worried that Serena would do something to Hannah.
Oh, so I didn't actually.
So I
think.
Thought that.
Oh,
yeah.
No, he doesn't have that kind of power to do that.
No.
Oh, no,
sorry.
No, go.
My thing was
There was a scene in the last episode where they're pushing the baby in the pram, and she was like, she needs one more blanket.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, I know how to take care of my baby. So I thought maybe the baby like got pneumonia or whatever and died or something. Like,
she's a shitty mom. I'm a mom. You see, she's a shitty mom. They're just going to get a nice nanny and someone else will take care of the baby. Right. It's like, it's like nice LA. Yeah, yeah. And then that nanny will be really nice to me while the moms are really
active. Are you guys talking about the scene where she just takes the baby like a shake weight?
Yeah, she's like, she makes some weird noise. It's like,
so I didn't actually think it would be Serena Joy, but I could see them pinning it on his wife as opposed to him because it's, you know, it's always women's fault.
Right.
Like in the scene that I have watched where he blames Serena Joy for bringing lust into the house by trying to give him one blowjob.
But she shut that shit down. On her back and on her knees.
Yeah.
So by fucking him after the Mexican ambassador gala. And,
right.
And trying to... oh my God.
So like, I wrote it down. You brought lust and temptation back into this house.
And so I can see them like just blaming the wife. And also they don't know what to do with a single mom, right?
True.
Yeah. But
I love that reveal of she wanted the harshest punishment.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was great. The look on his face, on Waterford's face when she said that was like, oh, I got to fix
Waterford
some shit.
Waterford is so dumb and he's so not cool. Like in that meeting, it was so obvious that he had done some shit too. He was like, hey guys, don't you think maybe we should chill punishing people for doing fucked up stuff to their handmaids? Come
on. Basically like a wink, wink.
Yeah. He's too cocky but then for such a dumb, meek human.
Yeah, he's a big dummy.
I don't know how one of I like this character. I know I'm not supposed to, but I really like Commander Price.
Yes, he's me too.
Not a hypocrite.
Oh, he's he's like liking someone on the GOP that like I own a gun and I shoot people with it. I don't lie about
right.
it.
Yes.
But to me, it's like right. at
no
least
thanks.
I think I get what kind of what you're saying, which is like he's evil and I hate everything he stands for. But at least he's following what he says, whereas everybody else is like, I'm going to act like this is the holy thing to do, but I'm still going to do the sinful thing, but still punish people as if I like.
Yeah.
Because
no, I get it. I still think
they're
equally shitty.
Yeah.
He's going to what? Masturbate into a couple watching some gross young boy, but he didn't touch anybody. So.
Right.
Fair,
right.
Fair.
Wait,
fair.
Commander Price, dad or daddy?
Do you guys is play that this a game? Meme I don't get?
Father.
What's dad or daddy?
Am you I win. When you're full? Fucking him.
You win the you win the game.
Oh, Julia.
Wait, I still don't get it.
Daddy, you're doing it. Dad. When you're fucking somebody, you call them names.
No,
what does he
do? Daddy, daddy's like the sexy one and dad is like your dad.
Oh, got it. Commander Price is dad.
Okay. Okay. I just wanted to get to the bottom of like where your affection is coming from.
No.
Now we know.
My affection is coming from, I don't think he's going to Jezebel's.
Yeah.
I don't think he's doing any. You think he is?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
But I think there was some sexual tension when he was recruiting Nick.
Yeah. That's why he's not going to Jezebel's.
I was like, is this going a different way? And I was like, oh, no, it's not.
Yeah. That's a good call.
There was that scene in the diner was like, is this? Is he recruiting him for Christ or something else?
Dear.
Or for the other Christ.
The other Christ.
Yeah, Sons of Jacob was a very different.
Yeah, we're the Sons of Jacob.
I'm still confused about how Sons of Jacob it relates to Guardians
of
the Faithful.
Sons of Jacob are the white terrorists that took over the government. Then when they became the government, they became the Guardians of the Faithful.
So they're the same thing.
Well, like one became the other.
It's like when brownies turned to Girl Scouts. They went over the bridge.
Yeah. Started to be able to sell cookies. Oh,
I understand now.
And
the children of Gilead are the cookies.
Oh, yes. That scene when the children are let loose into that gala.
Oh my God.
I couldn't stop crying.
That one kid who like fell, he was holding the hand and the kid just like fell in slow motion on his face and sat up. Great. Their use of slow motion, I know that's a little weird to say, but I really like, especially in that stoning scene.
Yes.
The snow and the everything in slow motion was just.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
Sounds beautiful.
Is Aunt Lydia the same lady who played Trunchbull in Matilda?
No,
I didn't Google
no,
it,
but she's very Trunchbull.
She's got that vibe.
I know.
Yeah, we've made that comparison before
on
the podcast.
Same
yeah.
color scheme, face.
Same vibe.
And who's the actress that I'm thinking of?
on The Americans, Margot Martindale. Yes. There's apparently a Vulture interview with Ann Dowd and Margot Martindale where they talk about how they're the same person.
That's so niche.
They should go into work for each other.
Yeah. Ann Dowd's fantastic. They're all fantastic. Like American. Amazing on the show.
I have a lot to say. This is not the right thing to take away from this episode, but Alyssa and listeners will not be surprised.
Here it comes.
It would be so great to be pregnant with Max Minghella's baby.
You know,
and
it was
have him just like touch your pregnant belly.
I wish listeners could see my face.
I'm not going to lie. After yesterday, I watched the episode before yesterday and I did Google Max Minghella girlfriend.
Yes. We've also done that.
He's dating Bono's daughter.
Frequently, just to make sure the status is still.
He's a very attractive and caring man. I also think that, they did a very good job of writing that character in a way where you go, yeah, I know how you got there. Mm-hmm. Like you didn't fit and you couldn't figure out what you were doing. And this is the one place that you finally can do well. But I love when she was like, is this what you want? Like, do you want to wax his car for the rest of your life?
Yeah. 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 I wonder where he is right now spiritually. because it seems like you were saying, you know, they found a vulnerable member of society and gave him a purpose and a place, but where is he sipping the Kool-Aid at all? I don't know. Of religion.
Right. I think Offred has woken him up a little bit.
I don't think he did either. June. I think, I'm with you on that.
I mean, I think the same thing is with Moira. Is Moira was this is it's fine, right? She's like, I would rather be here than anywhere else. And she's like, you can't. And I mean, in that world, it probably is better. But when she reminds her, there, you can still fight and there's still stuff going on outside of here. And I think finally when she got to Canada, she realized oh my God, I almost stayed in that when I can come here and have free healthcare and they give me $450 and a charged cell phone.
Yes.
They were mac and cheese.
Yeah. It was, to be honest, the Uber credit was a fuck you, America, by the writers. It was like, wouldn't it be so great to be Canada? You get a cell phone, $400 health insurance prescription card, and $200 of Uber credit on your phone.
I turned to everybody and I went, America, man, America sucks. Yeah.
There's no reason to be here. I think June is the dark horse of May Day. She started sort of, brooding, taking it all in slowly, scared. And now she's the one rallying everyone to the cause. After that one Scrabble game, she really got her groove back. Also, I thought it was genius that Moira looked at the license plate to see where she was. I would have just been like, anyone? Hi! Did I make it?
Well, it's a farm.
I would have gotten shot in Maine, 2 feet from the border.
Yeah.
What did the bottom of the license plate say?
Oh.
You are free.
I couldn't
see
it.
Why you're here? I forget.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come explore or something.
Was the last episode when Moira, shivs the cop, kills him so she can get out? Not the cop, whatever, the guys.
Yeah.
I watched this with my husband, and after done, he turned to me and he goes, if you have a moment, Jessica, you always kill them. You don't leave them alone. You kill them and you get out. This is what happens after we watch all these episodes. And after the last night, he's like, you kill them. They come for you. You kill them and you get the kids and you get out. After every episode, we both sit there always crying. And then he always goes, we have to go kiss our kids. And we immediately run into the room and kiss both our children.
Oh my God. I want to hear more about you watching it with your husband. Yeah. Because I've been telling people heterosexual couples should not watch this together.
Oh no, we're in it together. We love it. We're he's always he's always, when the wife, what's her name? You all know her name. Serena Joy.
Serena Joy.
When she slaps her when she comes out of the bathroom and she just falls in the ground. My husband's name is James. He goes, is that the day you're just like, this is the day I die because I'm going to choke you out, bitch. You don't touch me like that. And that, I think, is the difference, I have to say. When we talk about it like it's happening because it's the scary thing that's happening, that the times we live in. I'm always like, you can't kill her. We have kids. What about our kids? We'll find them. You don't, you have to like, that's why she's eating it. That is why June eats it. Yeah. She has a daughter. We have two sons. You're going to just die and they're out there?
Yeah.
You have to eat it.
And then one thing I loved about that is then, so that June was very proud of her head wound because it's like she was like, she's kind of like, look at what Serena Joy
did
to me.
Because she lost control and now everyone can see it.
Yeah.
I think what I think that Handmaid's Tale does really well is illustrate working, doing as much as you can within the system in which you are like oppressed by. And I think that I've had this conversation a couple of times with dudes who are like, well, why don't you just like go do stand? And it's like, do you not understand that like these women will die? Like, they will die and they can only do so much, but let's not discredit what they're doing within the system.
Right.
That is oppressing them. I think like, I don't know, the way in which she takes it, she uses the scar, like she talks to, you know, I don't know, like the little things that she does that the ripple effect is often greater. And that just because you're not like going out in a blaze of glory with like machine gun fire doesn't mean that you're not making a difference.
No, she's making change. Yeah.
I really respected June when she was being taken out of the house at the end and the Waterfords are like on the stoop, like, where are you going with our baby? That is neither of their baby. and she just looks back at them and I so badly wanted her to like,
just give a finger to her.
But she didn't. She just looked at them and I was like, God damn it. I could never do that.
Oh, yeah.
I was like feeling the spirit of humanity in this episode, how resilient we can be. We're like really, you know, stupid sacks of blood and meat, but sometimes it's like very inspiring when we do terrible things to each other and one person still has a glint in their eye.
Yeah.
It's like there's that something about the human race is that it's like all very pointless for the most part, but wow, some people, and like you were saying, like, why, like, people are like, why don't they just do whatever, like, resist better or whatever? I was thinking of, like, people say that about Syrian refugees. And it's like, oh, my God, the fact that the white helmets are going in and, like, rescuing their own people. Oh, my God, I would not be that person. I would be.
You would. I hope you would.
I just think it's unbelievable.
This brings me to another point about you and James, which I love is because. You know, cross promotion, my other podcast, Honey, where I talk to couples.
And are you? Have you been on it?
No, no. We haven't been on it.
You want to come on?
Yeah.
Okay,
love
great.
It.
I love we'll Honey so you. Much. I'm serious. Oh, to it. It's really
Do
good.
You, are you in a relationship?
I'm in a long distance relationship.
Oh,
I think
that's
we
fine.
Could Skype in. Yeah.
Well, when? Okay,
we'll talk about
talk
this
about
later.
It. Okay. Teaser. Go subscribe to Honey. Okay. Anyway, one thing I'm always thinking about, like, how do you know that this is the right person for you? Mm. And one of the few hard and fast conclusions I've come to is like, it has to be someone who you're like, I would want to fight in the resistance with them.
Yes.
Post-apocalypse. I would want them in my bunker.
Yeah.
Like I trust them. Tip.
Yep.
And so I love that he's like, you have to kill someone. You don't leave them alive. Yeah. You kill them.
Because
like,
I think when we saw the Moira one, he was like, oh, like he the whole time afterwards, he's just shaking. He's like, it's too much. And it's also crying. He cries after. He's like, it's too much. And I think and then I think I'm the only one that has children.
Yes.
Room.
And you're the only, person who has children that we've had on the podcast so far, so you have a very valuable perspective.
We had someone who's almost had a child,
a very pregnant guest, but you're the only
soon. Yeah, I feel like, well, there's a couple things about that, like obviously all the kids stuff you're like can't handle, so I think that's both of us sitting there being like in the first episode maybe we see, or is it the second episode where they do the flashback of her running in the woods holding Hannah and when she falls, I'm going to cry now. I turned to my husband. I was like, I can't watch this. Like, I don't know what I would do. I dropped my baby. I don't want to do it. So awful. And that's the one thing. The scene when she goes to see Hannah in this last episode.
Oh, my God.
This, I think Elizabeth Moss is a genius in this entire show. Her acting is unbelievable. That's the one scene where I was like, you don't have kids.
The screaming.
Yeah, it was not enough. If I was in that, I just thought to myself, I was watching my husband. I was like, I would be kicking. I would be
tearing the interior out of that car.
I would lose my GD. I would be crazy to be that close to your kids and not, and then, and to know they're alive. All of it. It's so crazy. And the scene when he touches her stomach too, for different reasons. I do think he's very handsome, but I think I was more taken away with like the idea of like trying to get pregnant, what it means to get pregnant. Mm. It's how it's sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's very hard. And then that moment when you finally do have that life inside of you, and then you're like, it's so horrifying because it's like she has a life and that's happening to her and it's glorious. And then the way it happened is so horrific.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Just back to that world being so horrible. It's like, and that back to that, they're being beat down. They're so beat down.
Yeah. Can we talk about the scene where she sees Hannah again? Mm. So I was so happy to see Hannah, as you know, but not under these circumstances. And Serena Joy, when she did that, and she basically brought Hannah onto the steps so that June could see her having a nice time with Hannah. I didn't know her full intentions at the time. I thought it was to be like, you fuck my husband and Jezebel's. Now I'm, look what I'm doing to you.
I'm going to fuck your daughter on
a stoop. I'm going to fuck your daughter on a stoop. No, but it was like you.
Very Serena Joy. Very you, her brand.
Whatever. Brand. It were, you invaded my relationship in this way, and I'm going to invade your relationship in this way. And I was like, Serena Joy, you, that was a huge misstep. You're now 100% going to be like murdered in the revolution first by June.
Yeah.
Like you.
Bare hands.
You could have had an okay time. Now you're done. Now you're done. You're.
Oh my God.
And she's a full on psychopath.
Yeah. Serena Joy. Doing you her fucking sick knitting in the front fuck. Seat.
Yes, on the way to do that. She's knitting. I just realized how crazy that is.
Also, did we love how long June's mittens were in the end? They were, she had mittens up to her elbows, and I'm like, that's Serena Joy, just crazy. Doesn't have too much time on her hands. She's like, yeah, we can make mittens up to the elbow.
That's well, what also, when you were talking about, like, she needed to go crazier in that car. Like, I would imagine you'd, like, be, there was, like, an inch on the top of that plexiglass. Would have, like, fucking fingers grabbed hair, yeah. Like, got yeah. her, she got I think into
that's,
her shit.
I'm happy that's in the scene when she starts finally swearing at her. Because yeah. I think it is a thing. She has to keep it together. She has to live for something, right? But at that moment when she does that, she's like, all bets are off. You have now, right? Like, it's, you, like you said, she blew it. I mean, she lost her cool. And she blew it because now June knows she actually has leverage.
Yeah.
Because if you're doing that, you're that nervous.
Hell yeah. And hell she goes to Fred about
that's
it.
That's right. Because she knows
it's
she
It's a triangle of lies and power. And that's scene before Nick that. Is involved too.
When she goes to see Nick and he doesn't answer the door, when she's knocking on the door before she sees Fred. And when the way they shot her coming down those stairs, did anybody else think? I was like, oh my gosh, she's going to fall. She's going to lose the baby.
And then it's all fucked.
And then it's all fucked.
Right? Why do they put them in those dresses?
Tripping. So much tripping.
Yeah.
I think it was an interesting thing. This is a weird comparison, but it kind of reminded me of Jane the Virgin in that scene where she goes to him and says, I need your help. Because in that show, everybody's got so many motives and is lying to so many different people where like when they have conversations, you're like, I can't tell if you're going to play this person or if you're like, honestly, but everyone has something to lose in this situation. And I think like they're, especially the commander and Serena Joy are getting to a point where they are so implicated in their shit too. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Like they are just as equally as punishable under this rule as she is.
Yeah. That also reminds me of the affair, which I'm not completely caught up on, but the first couple of seasons, every scene is like two people with a bunch of secrets. Somebody needs something from the other person. Yeah. That person needs something from them. And it's like every scene is just this like crazy.
And then it's like, oh, wait, I can't stop to like have chess. Sex with you. And then they have sex everywhere. Right? It's always like, I hate sex.
I hate sex.
Oh, okay.
Sex.
I watch it.
It's a lot of sex.
Wait, what was I going to say? Oh, can I ask you something else?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my big complaint with the show, which is a bit big is the wrong word. The problem that I have with the show is I feel like it fetishizes motherhood a little bit. Hmm. Like, obviously, Gilead does.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But
that's how they enslave women, though.
Yes, but it's like kind of June's backstory. Some of the emotional content of that, to me, veers into like, the greatest thing I ever did is become a mom territory. And so how do you feel about that?
I didn't take that away. I think I guess because there's no other room. I mean, I think that they made the world that that's the only thing she does.
Yeah.
They don't care. She wouldn't be a handmaid if she couldn't have kids. So, right. Yeah. Right. The whole story, which she did not create that.
Yeah.
That's just like, I think about that a lot too. I'm like, I've already had my kids. I'm like, if this happened today, I'd be the woman. I'm like, I can't cook. So I can't be the woman in the house.
Right. You want to be a Martha.
Who that's what I'd want to be. I feel like that has the best, Martha's the best person in that horrible landscape. No one's trying to have sex with you. You just cook for them. If you cook well, they're not going to beat you.
Right.
And you get to be friends with everybody and you kind of way under the radar.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Handmaid. Although Martha's keep getting in trouble for being in May Day.
Which is
but that's their own doing. They're resisting. Yeah. That you could do.
That's cool.
I love that Martha at Jezebel's, who's like, I'm a James Beard Award winner. She's like, I'm going to get some dick. I'm going to make some pesto. I'm going to just hang out at this place.
That's right.
I'm staying on Carbonara on Gilead. And I'm
you found the way to exist in this world.
That's what I'm saying. So Martha, so maybe the fetishizing is we all, the takeaway from me, handmade sales, we all need to learn to cook. Because if the shit goes down, we want to be in that kitchen making Carbonara, fucking some young valet.
Yeah.
And not having
you
to,
know what I thought about it a lot. Yeah,
go
I do want to be
on
in,
more.
Well,
I'm curious.
I don't know, and it's hard because okay. Here's all my thoughts about it.
Yeah, go.
I don't have kids. I want to have kids, and I just have never even questioned that I want to be a mom. But I feel like maybe especially in LA, it's so as soon as you have kids, people just look at you differently, and there's all this like ickiness to do with now you're not your own person anymore because you are now you're a mom, now you're not yourself, now you're a mom. Mm-hmm. And then there's the flip, this is, I wish this were like a more fully formed thought, but then the flip side is, you know, those annoying women on Facebook who don't have a lot going on and they're like, thank God I'm a mom, the best thing I ever did is become a mom. And of course then that makes me feel bad for women who want to be moms but can't for whatever reasons, and so that to me is the fetishization of motherhood, is when it's like, this is the best thing you could be doing with your life,
right,
woman.
Yeah.
become a mom. And so right. I think the backstory where I'm like, I wish we knew more about what was going on with June before right. she
yeah, in
Hannah.
Her office. Yeah. Or yeah. even just like as something outside of motherhood. Yeah, because like all we see of her working life is...
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with a mother who
yeah.
doesn't work either. Yes. But like we know she has a job and they all you see is like when they take them, when they fire them and she yeah. leaves. I get what it's
just... She doesn't seem to be that passionate about her job, which by the way, if this right. is a character who the best thing she did in her life is become a mom, then that's awesome. But I just feel a little bit like they're not showing us a woman who,
but they
there's
have.
No ambiguity about motherhood in this. That's
well,
what it
like,
is.
Like Off Glenn's character was both a mom and
you're
seemed
right.
very passionate
and
about
a cellular
her career,
biologist.
A cellular biologist. And this is not to, you know, compare book reader to cellular biologist or anything, but
the
she seemed
this
more 12 like
part
she
series
had
on
found,
falconry. She didn't like making that.
yeah, had found a passion than June. But I sort of came down to what you were saying when you brought this up before of like how in an ideal world, your children are a part of your fuller personhood and you're allowed to be many things, including a mom. And in this world, when they take all of that away, that is the only thing you have left.
Yeah.
And so it shouldn't be that way. But mm-hmm. now... But and I guess if, you know, God forbid we did end up in this kind of, you know, oppressive regime or anything, though probably other things about you would matter less than the lives of your children. It falls away, kind of.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, I agree with you. I have two minds of that. Okay. I agree with you 100%. Yeah. And I also think they don't show the backstory of really anybody. So it's not like just she isn't shown.
Yeah.
I mean, right, there's only so much time in the miniseries. So I think them showing you that she's in an office and that she runs and, right, and like she's a woman, like, here, use my credit card. Like,
yeah.
she had agency. Like, she uh-huh. was right. a very, she was like anyone here sitting at this table, modern, uh-huh. Independent. Met her man through an affair. I mean, so she's not pure. I mean, they're giving you, she's a complicated lady.
Yeah. And I think
and so, had a kid.
Yeah, it's so heart-wrenching that this happened, you know, before she had a chance to find her path, you know, and or find what she loves most or, you know, maybe carve out, you know, a bigger like,
right, she could have been on her way career-wise, yeah, like making a dent and starting to figure out what she wanted to do. Yeah.
She might have already had one. I feel like it's back to what you said about the Syrian refugees. If this is a Syrian refugee story, we're not going to spend a lot of time on what the Syrian refugee beforehand. It's going to be, now we live in hell, and then how do I do it? And in this land, the only thing she has to offer, why is she not in the colonies? Oh, she can have a baby.
Yeah, but she, I guess so she, this at is first, just personally, okay, so you're right. June is me going running with her lesbian friend, getting a latte. Goddamn, like, she's me.
Yeah.
But so I'm like, if I, so then I meet a guy. No. First, I get married and I get pregnant and I have a baby and I'm so excited because I'm Julia and I've always wanted to be a mom.
Yeah.
And then if all this bad shit happens, is it like then all I think about is how I'm not with my child anymore?
Yes,
probably.
I just realized that at first it was like she was the one saying to Moira, like, I'm gonna keep my head down, do whatever they want, because I have Hannah out there somewhere.
Yeah,
but she's like, this is her arc in the season, in the first season, is now she's, you know, also smuggling packages, which, you know, she would have said is like a threat to Hannah maybe at the beginning of the season. So she is changing.
Yeah. Well, because now she sees, sorry to interrupt. Now she sees saving Hannah is changing the world, which she says in the thing, right? Yeah. Even if it's a small change, she's making it better for her
they're
daughter.
One and the same. Yeah.
No, it's okay. I also think that like she knows that she's kind of fucked no matter what.
Yeah.
And that, you know, as long as she's pregnant, they're not going to kill her.
Yeah.
Because 100%. They're not going to kill a perfectly viable child.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that don't, like, just don't give a fuck thing. The thing that I walked away with at the end of this episode particularly is, so this whole Gilead just revolves around this religious aspect, right? But what she hits at the end is a spiritual connection, separate of religion, right? Where she is walking through the darkness completely in faith. They talk about, like, in the parting of the Red Sea, like, the Red Sea didn't part until the first person went into the Red Sea all the way up to their head.
Yeah.
And then it parted, right? Walking through in faith that it will be fine and that you, regardless of what happens.
Or it might not be fine, but
it doesn't matter, yes, right? Like, it is dark and I will
walk forward.
She
said, into the darkness or else the light.
Which I love finding this spiritual connection and power completely outside of religion.
Yeah.
That was like that whole last probably quarter or third of the episode was what I was just like seeing all those letters, right? Of all of these
people.
Did you
see the letters?
I love it. That made me cry too. That was a crying moment.
Oh yeah. In the package were letters from handmaids to be exported to Canada saying, this is my name, this is my child, this is where I think I am. If you know, get in touch with someone. Yeah.
And in that, Julie, I would say not all of them were mothers in that. They said, I'm a med student. I do this.
You're right.
I have this. Yeah. They weren't all mothers. So I think they were trying to show like it's a variety of women that have been enslaved in this way.
Yeah.
I want to go back to, I love that thing you're saying about spirituality, because I think in this episode, more than others, all the shots they had in so much piercing light coming through the windows.
Yes.
Which is that thing, the darkness into the light. And much more with her in the room. When she has the pregnancy test, the lights coming in on her. Through, so it's like all these right hopeful lights coming through, even on the, what's his name, Putnam. Even he's in the two blinding lights. Like it was a theme throughout. I think more than other times.
And justice too, and judgment in terms of like for Putnam of like outside of this religion, you will be judged. Like you know what you did and you will have to live with it. Because I think that was like that moment in the last episode of Putnam being on the bridge after she jumps. I think he realized, like, you can see him go like, ah, fuck. Yeah. Like have a little bit of a humanity of like, this is wrong. Like this is wrong. Everything about this is wrong. And I think people get those flashes of humanity throughout this. It's just very interesting to me.
Two big takeaways for me: triumph of the human spirit, and also that religious extremism is a psychosis.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Yes.
So I want to talk about when I love that when they first get brought to the Red Center at the very beginning of the episode, the very first thing is hands clasped, eyes down.
Yep.
And I think that's like very telling.
And then I also like that apparently there are all these rules, but you can say aunt or aunt.
Yes, right?
No specificity on that.
It does not matter.
And right away that she's getting, cow prodded. And then when they tagged her.
Oh, my God. And what was that tagging machine?
I know from 1965. They couldn't get it. This isn't. Yeah, it's a weird tagging.
It's a hydraulic clamp.
Yes. Okay, so that's a real thing.
You use it to do like rings or whatever around like tubes and stuff. Like to press, because it'll like press it.
Oh, God.
So what they do is they put it around and then it just.
Oh.
I think they do it to cows.
Oh, poor cows.
Well, you know what? In a way, I'm glad to know that. No, I'm not. I don't know. I'm like, is it better that that's a real thing that exists in our world? Or am I worried about some art designer on The Handmaid's Tale who's this came out of their brain?
You know? Somebody who used
Do we get to pick our numbers? And I hate that thing. Oh, do you want me to count to three for you? One, clamp.
Oh, God.
It's like what they do at Claire's.
I also love.
Yeah, you say, got yeah, Simone yeah. is such a badass. If you've not seen her Netflix, she made her own documentary about herself. There's the documentary. I think it's called "Where Have You Gone, Nina Simone." Anyways,
yeah, Where'd You Go, Miss Simone? Right?
It's fantastic. It's unbelievable. So good.
What happened, Miss Simone?
Oh, okay.
What happened? Where'd you go,
Bernadette? Phenomenal. She is such an activist woman. Just phenomenal woman. Someone that you're like, oh, I mean, a lot of problems, but on the whole, like someone that you're like, wow, like this is someone you should.
I want to be you.
Want to be you. Right. With that strength and talent and conviction. So I love that they used her song when they're coming around the corner. But to me, it's like they're picking this woman of color who is like this, or truly like. A pillar of feminist pillar, and then they're using her music in this way. It was fantastic. Yeah. I loved it, and I agree with you. I also love the end when they use the Tom Petty.
Oh my God.
American Girl.
That both got me. That got me so bad. I think I'm. Because it's like probably the like number one and two things I identify as are a woman and as American, and it yeah. was. Like I'm crying now thinking about it. Like it, that was so intense. Oh
it's
my
intense
God.
To watch women do that, like the march when you're watching people come around the corner and just being like, "We have the strength."
Yeah,
we have the strength.
Yeah, as, the army quote, but yeah, I think quote, that I what it is that all of these women are theoretically in their late 20s, early 30s, right, or mid 30s, and. You think about like all the like what that song did for me is like where was she when she first heard that song and what was her life like and where she is now and how that person is the same you know like it just I think that's why it hit me so hard. Yeah, God.
Yeah, don't underestimate women. No.
Or the power of Tom Petty.
Well, we can talk. I love Tom Petty.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do. I love that song.
At the beginning. You know, we used to look at each other in sheer terror, yes. and then we don't look at each other that way anymore.
Yeah.
We adapted.
Yeah.
And we're fighting back.
Also, can you imagine, like, the next party you're at and, like, some dude, like, puts on American Girl by Tom Petty and, like, every woman at the party just bursts into tears. Like, this is not a fun song anymore.
Oh, we play Tom Petty's. My son loves that song. We play it's on his rock playlist that we play constantly.
What else is on his rock playlist?
So much Ramones. Two Ramones. The Ramones, enough. He's like, can we play the greatest hits? I'm like, no, we can't. I can't hear Sheena's a punk rocker. Judy's a punk rocker. Everybody's a punk rocker. Be taught the brat. Be taught. Mama, what's a brat? Why are they beating on him? This is great lessons I'm teaching you. I don't know. Let's move on, you know? He got in trouble at preschool for singing Dirty Deeds and the Dunder Cheap.
This Not is Ramos. Great because DC. We are going to start a girl punk band called
You Are?
Period Stain.
Love it.
I love Alternately it. Called The Fighting in Florida.
And then in parentheses, is going well. That's what I
want to call I'm it. So into it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Serena Joy. I'm skipping all over the place. I feel like I did feel for her when she's sewing. I mean, knitting all those baby things. I think back what you were saying, the idea of like, even though she has like a better life because she's, you know, the one not, you know, in power. And that she made this herself, yeah. Like that, like she wrote her own prison is a fascinating thing, right? The idea of she thought she was gonna be part of this, and then they keep all those flashbacks are great when they keep being like, "You can't come in the room,
yeah.
You can't do this," and she's like, "It's fine, it's fine, it's fine," and you're like, "No, this is when women should be like, yeah, it's not fine. Yeah. That is my idea."
When she's like, "Yeah, I know the law. I helped write."
Yes,
like, you wrote yourself into yes. the hole.
What I think is so interesting is because the whole her whole backstory is that she was like a conservative mouthpiece and a yes. writer and like wrote for this going back to traditional values. It's such a good example of like feminism helps everybody, right?
Yes.
Feminism even helps the women who don't believe in feminism. Like,
gives them that pedestal, the top.
Yeah, to be able to speak, to yeah. be able to share their ideas. Yeah. Like, there is nothing wrong with if you want to have a more conservative, like
yep.
heteronormative role in your household. That's that's what feminism is. Like, if you want that for you,
do
go
that.
Ahead and do that.
Yep. Commander Putnam being his hand being cut off. That
it was
how gross
scary.
It was.
It was yeah. too scary, and I didn't watch it because I had bad dreams.
And it's also scary because they had in that they do have a smart thing of having in that white backgrounds where everything when they're cutting it stands out so much, and that sound of the salt
bone saw,
bone saw,
bone saw.
That's another good name for a
bone that's a great punk group.
I have a friend who
titles
his for Brooklyn
Tiny Dog bone saw.
Cute. Yeah. Tiny cute dog, little girl dog named Bonesaw.
I love it. That's punny too. I love that.
And Off Glen 2.
Off Glen 2.
Standing up.
Moment in the sun.
Off yep. Glen 2's revenge.
I love it because she was like, all of a sudden, this is no longer better than getting fucked behind a dumpster for Oxy.
Yeah, that's right.
This for her was the tipping point.
I really did like that point of view when she took her aside first was like, this was my life and people are nice to me yeah. and you're not going to fuck this up for me. Like, she even had agency in
yes.
that.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It was nice to have a different point
perspective.
Of view.
The show yes. needed right. it. The show, I think, would have been cheapened without it.
Right.
Also, yeah. that reminds me, she was so mad when Offred apparently had to like hastily hide all the notes and stuff. And then she was late to go shopping and she goes, "You are the worst shopping partner ever."
Yes. She was like, "Shut up. No, you shut yeah. up."
Which, by the way, I'm like, now I get it. Alyssa, you are my shopping partner.
Wow, break my heart.
That was kind of a burn.
Wait. That was kind of backhanded.
We're shopping partners. No, we're shopping partners.
Who's the late one, though? I feel like you were calling
her
the
one. Am I the worst shopping partner ever?
I was saying we're shopping partners.
Because you guys are partners in life.
Yeah.
We're shopping partners.
I guess.
Yeah. We're shopping partners. We're shopping partners.
I'm getting us red dresses. And we're going to
Trader Joe's.
We're
all
going to
be in red dress on Halloween. I saw a bunch of red dresses on Saturday.
They did that for their for your consideration.
For yes. Yeah.
They had
that's what they did it for? That was for Pride.
Yeah, they had.
It's brilliant.
I was hoping it was for Pride.
No, they just had people, the women walking in the dresses with the hoods around and all
parts
LA.
Of LA.
And then the women who did that in Ohio.
Yes, I love that.
Yes.
Ohio for the hearings on what was it?
Abortion
rights,
bill,
right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
I love it. It's going to become the new thing.
It's weird because it's like a symbol of oppression in the show, but is being appropriated as a form of resistance here.
Well, coming back to what you said about they shouldn't have given us a uniform. They didn't want us to be an army. They shouldn't have given us a uniform.
Right. Yes.
Right.
I love it.
So good.
Okay,
so cool.
You guys.
Resist.
Yeah. Resist.
Resist.
It's time to plug your shit quickly. You can find me on Twitter at @KAWILLERT. K.A. Willert.
You can find me on Twitter at JessPatSox, JessPatSox.
Oh, is this tough for you Boston-wise also?
No.
Don't give a fuck.
Don't give a fuck. Go Pats.
So Boston.
Okay.
That wouldn't be me. I'd be fucking somewhere else.
I ain't missing the game. All right, that was my...
That was good.
All right. Under her eye.
Blessed be.
Praise be. I guess I never told you. Thanks for listening to Under Her Eye.
I'm Julia Meltzer.
And I'm Alyssa Krasick.
You can troll us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Under Her Eye. And you can email us at underhereye@whatsacreative.com.
Our incredible theme song is by the American Symphony of Soul.
Our incredible cover art is by Yael Zinko.
And special thanks to our lovely intern, Portia Critchman.
Yay, bye. I know.
That's a Creative Podcast Network.